This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and you are listening to Wells Tech, a show about technology and ministry and where those two meet. This is episode 462 for Tuesday, September 13th, 2016. Thank you so much for joining us, and joining me, as usual, from across the Mississippi is Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Happy to be joining you. It's a beautiful fall afternoon in New Ulm, Minnesota. We have high temperatures today of 62. What happened to my summertime? Just gone like that.
Not my fault. summer is my favorite season. I enjoy fall, I guess, but it's always kind of a harbinger of things to come.
Of doom.
For those who live in the northern plains.
Yes, very true. But that's not why we're here today. We're here today to kick off a brand new series. Just wrapped up a whole bunch of summer series. Now we're going to start a series that spans throughout our regular podcast season. So starting here in September, and we'll finish up all the way over in next May of 2017. We've titled the series, Social Media for Ministry.
This is a topic that we talk a lot about, I think, just in the general course of our conversations on the show, social media, but this would be a little bit more focused. Normally we kind of do a book review, and we thought, well, let's do something a little bit different, something that would be equally helpful, but maybe even more practical. You know, when we're talking about congregations and schools trying to figure out this whole social media thing, and is it even suitable for specific ministries? So we're going to take a look at a particular technology and answer four key one-word questions, right?
That's correct. We're going to boil it down to why we care about a particular social media platform in ministry settings, what exactly you can do with that platform in relation to your ministry, who is doing it currently, so sharing some good examples of especially Wells organizations, churches, schools, whatever it may be that we've found that are using the platform, so you can get ideas from them. And then we'll give you a little how-to. How can you use it, how to get started, how to create an account, how to do some of the more finesse type things. And a lot of it, of course, will point to other resources that you can dig deeper with.
Yep. And there's no shortage of social networks to choose from. Obviously, our decision was to start with something. And one of the maybe underrated, I'd call it, social media applications that has been around for quite some time, and I think maybe underused by congregation schools, perhaps, because it is a very visual one, and that is Instagram. Instagram has been recently purchased by Facebook, although it has remained pretty much autonomous. I haven't noticed any more than maybe would be expected in a normal integration between two powerhouses like Facebook and Instagram. But we felt that we've talked a lot about visual ministry and the importance of using images. And last week, we just came off of a great interview with Naomi Green talking about taking photos for ministry. So we thought maybe a nice segue, that would be a nice segue to talk full tilt about this first social network, which is Instagram.
Yep. And speaking of visual communication, which we all know is very popular and well received, we thought we'd also use this series as an opportunity to dip our toe in the water with infographics. So we've actually created our first infographic of the series, and it's titled Instagram for Ministry, part of the Wells Tech Social Media Ministry Series. And in these infographics, we hope to address those four questions that we laid out at the beginning why, what, who, and how. I want to say it in a different order for some reason. Maybe by the time we get done, I'll get the order down. But
so
yes.
Let's ask the question, Sally, and I'm kind of going to defer to you for a lot of the information on this show, because although I use Instagram once in a while, I enjoy the images that I see there. I'm not a big creator, although I've talked to a number of churches and schools that do use it. I'm going to kind of lean on you and your experiences, because you kind of know your way around the tool.
Well, I hope so. And I guess the first question is, why would we consider Instagram for ministry at all? Mm-hmm. And I think number one reason is, I just looked up some 2016 stats. Instagram has over 500 million users worldwide.
Amazing.
So 500 million people are there. That's 500 million people that need to know their Savior. And you have an opportunity to communicate with them by being part of that social network. Number two on our list is visual communication, just like we've talked about already. More and more visual communication is popular, it's well received, and it's a great way to reach people who don't want to read a whole lot of text. So a very popular way of communicating. Number three on the list, we just kind of said to be part of the mix. We're encouraged in the Bible to be salt and light in this world. And so, again, just letting your faith shine to the people that you're in contact with on this platform. We also listed that we could show ministry in action, so that maybe it's a little more real time and more a different way of communicating than your normal church website would be, where you can post pictures as things are happening and people get kind of more of a feel for what the vibe is in your congregation through that. And then number five on our list of why is that you can follow and like and comment. You can connect with your members and prospects in a very personal way. So things that are important to them that they're sharing, you'll be aware of and able to support and engage with them via the platform.
Yeah, I think the why of this is pretty much the same in any major social network. I think you captured it real well in the salt and light piece, where being part of a place or an environment where other people comment, leave some of their own information, just kind of spend time, is where we need to be spending time to begin to have those conversations and share not only our faith, but look for opportunities to continue a conversation around a particular topic, forge new relationships, just kind of be part of the world in that respect, where we have an opportunity to play our part.
Yep. Next up, we have the what question, the big what question, and
what
that kind of zeroes.
Instagram?
Well, no, more like zeroes in on what kind of content can you share on Instagram?
Exactly. What is Instagram, and what goes there from a church
exactly.
or school perspective, right?
Exactly. And you know, we're not going it alone here. There are no shortage of articles out there.
Yeah.
20 great ways to use Instagram at your church. Is your church on Instagram? 12 great ways to use Instagram for your church. Maybe they add up and you get 32 total if you reference both articles. So just kind of looking at some of those articles and gleaning our own experience and looking at some of the churches and schools and things we see out there, definitely a way to share your organization activities and special events. If it's the school track meet, or you know, the church picnic, or our annual event, whatever it is. I know in Sleepy Eye it was always buttered corn days, and we had a pie stand there. So whatever it is, it's ministry in action. It's a great way to just capture it and very quickly share it. And then I listed an unplugged look at ministry efforts. So sometimes many of the people you come in contact with in your ministry, you maybe only see in those formal settings, in worship once a week, and you know, pick up and drop off at school or at a parent-teacher conference. But if you give them a chance to know you and know the behind-the-scenes work and just kind of the unplugged look, they may feel more of a connection with your congregation or organization. So
I think this is really critical across all the social networks we're going to talk about during these segments, and the fact that in a digital, your digital presence, let's say it's your website, there's only so much information that you can put on a page, and what that person walks away with may be very static and very almost stodgy. You've got directions, you've got church time, you know, service times, who the pastor is, you know, kind of the ones and zeros, you know, the blocking and tackling maybe of getting information in front of people. This goes beyond that. This kind of, you know, throws the curtain back and says, this is how, what we're doing. This is who we are. This is what our people look like when they're doing their thing. This may be interesting to you. So that I like the term you use, unplugged. It's really not kind of a formal prop-up thing where you're staging, like we were talking about last week, you know, where you're staging camera shoots. I mean, you're taking pictures and posting pictures of ministry in action.
Absolutely. Next up on that list of what you could post is certainly scriptural encouragement. I think we've all experienced verse images, one of the very popular ways to share God's word. And you can do some beautiful work with different tools that are out there. And Instagram's just waiting for you to post those kind of images. And I think maybe Time of Grace, we'll look at in a moment, has a lot of that kind of imagery that's included on their Instagram feed. And then finally, under what, Instagram supports videos. And so you could do short video promotions of different events that are happening. And you can also obviously do imagery type advertising, perhaps of a sermon series or a new Bible class that's starting. Either video or imagery for those purposes would be a great way to share and invite others to participate.
Yeah, so there's a lot of the what there, and you know, this is only a small sampling. As you, I think, get into this and as you work with what we've normally recommended you do is form kind of a communications committee. As you work with each other, I think some brainstorming would turn up a lot of different things that could be potential content for Instagram. And remember, it's not just photography, it's, you know, videos as well. So lots of opportunities for the what. Let's go to the who.
Yeah, I'm excited to share some of these. And this is just a short list of the many that we list on our infographic. So check out more of these. But here's an example. Church, Holy Trinity Church. And this is actually an ELS congregation in Okochee, Wisconsin.
Right,
Madison. I hadn't heard of Okochee. Mm-hmm. And so they've got pictures of their daycare, apparently, of different sporting events, of worship, all kinds of pictures on their church and school
Instagram
page. Yep, Instagram page. Big cookouts, all kinds of fun things. So you really do get a feel. Here's a look at Rocky Mountain Lutheran, where they're showing students in sports. They're showing the school pitcher taking event. They've got people in classrooms, just kind of the day-to-day things that are going on at the high school there in Colorado. Student of the month. Learning CPR, all kinds of stuff on the Rocky Mountain Lutheran page. And by the way,
everyday life, yeah, it's not anything real stage. It just says, this is who we are, this is what we do.
Right. You can look at these accounts by going to Instagram.com/ and the username. If you know what their username is on Instagram, you can look at them via your web browser, or you can use the search feature in Instagram, type in their username, and their accounts will come up, and you can see their stream of pictures. Besides looking at accounts online, there's not a lot that you can do in the web interface. It's all about having the smartphone app, and they have versions for iOS and Android. So here's WLC's, Wisconsin Lutheran College, where they've got a mix of everything going on the campus, from worship to moving into the dorms, just lots of fun activities on their page as well. And moving on, we have some from Camp. This is Camp Croy up in the Minnesota Twin Cities area. And they've got lots of fun pictures, group pictures, activities at camp, all kinds of things from a camp setting. here's that Time of Grace page that I was mentioning earlier, where they do a lot of the verse image type imagery out here and real provocative photos. They do a really great job with picking the right images to go along with the verses they're sharing and stuff. Here's an example from Kingdom Workers. And they show people at work in action, as well as actually out in the field doing various volunteer work. So they've got the Kingdom Worker staff, and I would assume most of them in the Milwaukee area. And then they've got pictures from places as far reaching as Africa and Chile and all the other places where they're doing ministry. So a really neat mix and a great group to follow. Lastly, I brought up the Wells Lutheran Instagram account, and this account is actually run through the Communication Services Office there at the Synod Building, and they've got lots of pictures of Wells Night at Miller Ballpark, where there were large groups out there, but all kinds of events that they cover. There's pictures from the youth rally and the women's ministry conference that was held this summer, just lots of different insight into what's going on with the Synod and different events that are being hosted at the Synod level. So that's just a few of the many accounts we have to share with you. And probably one of the great ways to spark your own ideas and things is to look at what other people are doing and check out the images that they're including on their Instagram accounts.
Very nice. So we'll have an example of all of those and more on the show notes page. So if you're looking for examples, there is no shortage. So what's the last category in our fancy, shiny new infographic?
Infographic, yes. It's the how category. So I think we've hopefully convinced you that Instagram is worth a look for your ministry organization and helping to spread the good news. And so how do you get started? Well, I would say probably the easiest way is to go over and visit Instagram.com, where you can find links to the iOS and Android apps, which I mentioned earlier. So you're going to go to your particular app store. You can just search on Instagram if you want, or use the links from the website to get there and install the app. And it'll actually walk you through creating a new account and giving it an account name and things like that. One thing I read about, and I'll have some links included in the show notes, is that they just recently rolled out business profiles where you can put more of your business contact information, and you're also able to get some analytics and things like that if it's a business account. So you might want to look into that for your organization. I know there's plenty of businesses that are out there already that were created before that type of functionality. I think they just rolled it out within the last month or so, this business profile. But some new documentation is out there about that, and we'll be sure to include that. Besides that, once you have Instagram installed, it's pretty much just turn it on, select your image from your smartphone, and apply some really fun filters. And you don't have to apply filters. You can leave it just as is, or you can kind of scroll through, do some different editing. They allow you to do various things with the images. Again, we can get into more details, have links to help resources and things if you check the show notes. You can select videos to upload, and they'll support up to 60 seconds now. It used to just be 15-second videos, but now you can go up to 60 seconds. So you can share those, and you can apply filters to those as well. So if you like the old-timey look or whatever it is that you like about various filters, you can do that on your videos as well. It's not just on images. And then the last feature that is brand new to Instagram within the last couple of months is called Stories, where you can collect a group of images and even add some text overlays if you want and share them in kind of a slideshow type format, very Snapchat-like. So that's what we got in the house section, Martin.
Nice. And again, I'm no expert, although I believe that some of the things that are being rolled out, like the stories, like the business profile, make it even more useful for organizations than it ever was. One story I read, I guess last night, they have rolled out even a newer feature to be able to block comments based on certain keywords. So you can filter out you know, some of the stuff, some of the junk that may come across. And that's an important part of Instagram. It's not just that you can post pictures, but there's dialogue and conversation like Facebook has around a particular image. So there's posts, you can tag people, put locations in, those kinds of things. And in fact, you don't actually have to use the photos that you take with your smartphone. So if you take pictures like Naomi Green takes, you can get them onto your phone and then send them up and use the filters or whatever. So, and it used to be Instagram, and I think this has changed now, right? You do not have to have square photos. You can have different size, different shaped photos as well. Is that right?
You can, and they do look fine in Instagram. I'll just tell you that the web interface, like what I was showing you, it's all square, so it crops off the edges if you do them a little bit different configuration. Okay. So, but for the most part, you can do that.
So in your Instagram usage, Sal, you find it pretty reliable, pretty easy to use. Do you think that it's a kind of a mature product?
I do. I think it's very reliable. Obviously, you need an internet connection to do it. But if your internet's reliable, I think that could be the only problem you'd run into. I will tell you a little trick that I often do, Martin, and that is sometimes I just want to use the filters. I think they have really great filters. I know there's filters in a lot of different software, but I really enjoy Instagram's filters. And once you get used to it, it's nice to just be able to use those. But in order to save it to your phone, you have to publish it. And I don't really want to publish it. You can direct message it to someone. You can publish to, you know, and delete it or whatever, and it would save to your phone. But what I usually do is I turn on airplane mode, and then I click to share it, and it fails intentionally because I have the internet turned off. Mm-hmm. And then it saves down that filtered version, that Instagram version, to my phone camera roll. Mm-hmm. And then I have a copy of it that I can use in other ways if that's what I want to do. So then I turn airplane mode back off, and I'm back on the internet and all is good. So that's a little trick that I use.
So you have a favorite filter?
No, well, maybe, but there's so many, and I have to look at them all every single time. Lo-fi is probably my favorite. It kind of does a dark edge, the vignette look, and I like that.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So that's our first installment of our social media for ministry, Instagram for ministry. And again, please don't miss going to the show notes page, because we have a bunch of links there. We've talked about ebooks before. We'll have links to that and all those examples in the how section that are in the who section that Sally shared. I think it's great to learn by example, follow a few Instagram user accounts, and just get some ideas and then build your strategy from there. So Cool. I think we're off to a running start. Very nice.
Who knows what
we'll do. Let's move on to our news. Yes. Let's move on to our news and tech section. And a lot of news from Apple. Let me go ahead and bring that up. And if you have been living in a hole somewhere, maybe you haven't heard about the iPhone's newest launch, but it happened last Tuesday or Wednesday, somewhere along in there. The iPhone 7 is available September 16th. Not a lot of physical changes to the case size or the outside, except they offer it in this black color, jet black, I think they call it. Almost looks like a piano, lacquered black, and they also have another matte black finish. Couple of the key things related to this phone over the 6 or previous versions is the camera. So in both models, the 7 and the 7 Plus, which is the oversized one, the camera is much improved, better or wider aperture, 1.8, I think, is the aperture for that, which means should take better low-light photographs. The Plus version actually has two cameras. I think you can see it here. One is kind of the wide angle. One is the telephoto, so to speak. So they're really trying to increase the quality, especially of portraiture type photos, and they know that most people use this to take pictures of people. So they can do some fancy things by using two lenses. I mentioned the color black. One thing they took away, which was a little bit controversial, was the audio jack. So you can no longer plug in, at least right out of the box, any kind of jack that is a traditional audio 3.5 inch jack. They do give you a little dongle in the box that allows it to plug into the Lightning port, and they also give you the regular ear pods that plug into the Lightning port as well. So iPhone 7 is, I think, available, I think it says there, September 16th. About the same price, so there's no price difference. It's still fairly expensive. New home button as well, it's not a physical clickable button. Now it's got a haptic feedback. So like the new Macs on the touchpad, it will allow for a little vibration when you tap on that. So That's the iPhone 7. Then two other announcements. One was the Series 2 of the Apple Watch. Not a lot of differences there. They're calling it Apple Watch Series 2. That's also available on the 16th. A little bit longer battery life, has a faster processor, a little brighter screen, GPS built in, so you don't have to have your phone for the GPS to work. And for you swimmers out there or want to take it into the shower, it is completely waterproof. So
I had fun digging around on that site, looking at all the different types. They have Apple Watches that are like $1,500 because they're made of steel or something exciting
ceramic.
Like that.
There's a new ceramic version. Yep. Yeah, I think 12 to 15, something like that. Yeah,
really expensive. So
it's moving right along. Product maybe that I wanted to call our attention to was the AirPods. And the AirPods are wireless headphones. They're not headphones, but earbuds, maybe you'd call them. They have no wires, and they're kind of funny looking. They have a longer stem, so to speak. If you can kind of picture the current ones and then maybe extend the stem a little bit and take the wires off, then you can kind of imagine what they are. I'm curious how these would stay in the ear, especially for those people that have trouble with the regular ones, but they are wireless, of course, 4 to 5 hours battery life, and what I think is maybe a proprietary connection. I don't think it's Bluetooth, but it's got some way of connecting with the phone, which obviously makes them useless for connecting to any other device. So kind of locked in here, and I think they're only available, if I'm not mistaken, in Apple White. So very interesting stuff coming out of Apple. All that is coming very soon.
Just a quick mention. Yeah, I did a little digging around looking at the new specs myself, and I guess one positive thing that happens when they announce these is that the previous version's price typically goes down.
Yep.
So if you want an Apple Watch Series 1, not name that, but the original Apple Watch, you might be able to pick one up for a lower price these days.
$250, $260, something like that. So
that's a positive.
Yep, and I think they reduced some prices on iPad. So if you're looking to get into a tablet, those were reduced. Maybe something of note, which was long overdue, is that they increased the storage size on the base model. So they no longer sell an iPhone with 16 gigabytes, which was probably way too skinny for a lot of people with the media that you maybe want to put on if you're going to be disconnected and want to watch a couple movies or whatever on the airplane. So the lowest, I think, model now is 32 gigabytes. And I think they actually did away with the 64, which is what I would normally gravitate toward, and that's all the way up to 128, and the highest model is 256, which probably has more memory than a lot of our computers at this point. So truly is a computer in your pocket.
Definitely.
Let's move on to the next segment, Sally, before we run out of time, and that is a reminder that the Interactive Faith Bible Digital Bible Study Series is starting up again this spring, September 21st. That's a Wednesday. We will be streaming that right here from the CMM. It's Professor John Brown from Northwestern Publishing House. There are two sessions offered each Wednesday night from September 21st to October 26th. 6 o'clock, and these are Central Time, 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock Central Time. The name of the series that he is leading is What Does This Mean? The Continuing Importance of Luther's Small Catechism. So kind of getting revved up for the Reformation 500, and Professor Brown, or Editor-in-Chief Brown from Northwestern Publishing House, he has a lot to do with Forward in Christ, will be leading this series. So mark that on your calendar, and that's just in a couple of weeks we're starting that up.
Yep, next Wednesday night. Looking forward to it.
Let's go to our picks of the week.
And I will say that I got an email this week from my friends at Code.org. If you aren't familiar with Code.org, it's a movement which started a few years ago to encourage computer programming or coding in classrooms starting at an early age. They think it should be another subject that's taught as a standard, basically, in all curriculums for all ages, just because learning about coding is a good thing for students. So over at code.org, they're gearing up for the new school year, and they had some announcements about all the different training they've done and training that's available. You can check out this overview blog post titled The Biggest Year Yet for Computer Science Education. And they also announced a few innovations that I thought our listeners might be interested in if they're doing coding in the classroom. One of them is the concept of pair programming. And this is something that's not unheard of in the industry. Oftentimes computer programmers are teamed up. They work as a pair. They learn from each other. They develop a better product because they bring their unique insights and they help each other along. And so maybe one person types for a while and the other person watches and coaches and discusses, and then they trade places or whatever. Well, now the code.org programs are set up for that, because in the classroom maybe you have a limited number of computers, or whatever the circumstances may be. You may just want your students to work together in a similar fashion. And so you have to just allow it to use the pair programming feature. And when they log in, then they're prompted to choose their partner, and code.org keeps up with the progress of both students as they work through the different challenges that are part of the coding challenge, whatever it may be. One more thing to mention from code.org is that they have a new feature which teachers can turn on called Stage Extras. And this is particularly useful if you have a student who finishes quickly, who's more advanced perhaps than other students in the classroom. The way that the interaction typically works is they move right on to the next level. But now you can turn on this stage extra stuff, and when they get to the end, they get prompts to do another exercise on the same level. So create something new, do a new drawing, open a new project, continue working at that same level until the class is ready to move on. So just a couple of innovations that might be useful as you plan to integrate coding in your classroom curriculum. And just keep in mind that once a year they have, I believe it's a week, that where they put emphasis on coding in the classroom. And I think that's coming up in early December. So we'll have more about that on the show as the dates approach.
Very nice. Code.org. Been there a number of times, and I think they get better year over year. So
definitely. Yeah,
if you are inclined to teach or want to teach that, and maybe you're not feeling real comfortable doing so, I think this site is a godsend as far as, you know, introducing your kids to it in a kind of a make sense way. So, and I like that pair programming kind of concept. My pick of the week is actually something that I won at a conference, and I never win anything at a conference. I was at a programming conference about 2 months ago, and about 250 people, and they gave about, I don't know, 10 prizes away or so. So the odds were not too bad, but I won a Bose SoundLink Bluetooth speaker. And they come in different colors. The one they were giving away was black. It's about the size, I'm going to date myself. It's about the size of a Sony Walkman. You remember you put the CDs in. It's maybe a little bit thicker than that, but it's about that same size. And obviously, got a battery in here, and you charge it with a USB charger. It also has an auxiliary jack, but it's very simple. That's what I like about it. It just has a power button. It has a Bluetooth button and an auxiliary button, and then play and pause, and volume buttons for up and down. And it's got surprisingly good sound for the size. Now, I wouldn't recommend this. Now, in the past, I've recommended a JVC speaker, which I still would advise for people maybe giving presentations, because this doesn't give quite as much sound. But if you're looking for something like on your desktop, just to sit in your office or whatever, this has really good bass. It has nice audio quality. So if you just want to play music or whatever, pair it up to your phone or your computer, whatever, and just sits nicely on your desk, kind of almost like a bookshelf speaker. This might be worth considering. It's not near as expensive as the JVCs that I've recommended in the past, because it doesn't do any charging of other external devices like those do. But you can get it on Amazon right now for about $110-$120, something like that. So it's well made. Bose is a good brand. I have some Bose speakers at home for my TV, and I think they make a good quality product. And it's not, even though I think the exterior is plastic, it's a really hard plastic, and feels really well made. And it's not light either, so it's not so heavy that you couldn't put it in your bag and, you know, carry it outside or, you know, where you're traveling or whatever. But that's the Bose SoundLink color Bluetooth speaker. Comes in a bunch of different colors if you're interested in accessorizing your office. So that's my pick.
Congrats.
It didn't cost me a dime, which is the best part about this one, but I am impressed with the utility of it. Does a nice job.
That's awesome. Lucky day there, huh?
Was, yeah. Shocked me. normally, if I'm not that interested in hanging around to the very end, I leave because I know I'm never going to win anything. So who knows how much I've won and was not there to pick it up. But this one I stayed and got lucky. So,
excellent.
Let's move on to ministry resources, Sally.
All right. Just a quick mention of an ebook. I think you mentioned it already, actually, Martin, the fact that there are ebooks out there related to using Instagram and ministry. And the one we want to share with the folks is from our friend. Actually, it's from our friend Lauren. We've had her on the show, Lauren Hunter, who does Church Tech Today and works with others to put together some really great ebooks that are available. She has a whole series on social media, and Social Media Quick Guide for Instagram is number one on the list. You're just going to be prompted to give your name and contact information, and then it is a free download. So something that we've read and learned from, and worth your time, we believe, if you're interested.
It's a quick read. It's like 7 or 8 pages. It's not long at all. I've printed off copies and shared some of them as well. And just by signing up, you get, I think, on their newsletter, but that's actually a good newsletter to get, because you hear about new ebooks that are coming, featured articles, blog posts. Almost all of them are relevant to reaching out and something to do with church or that ministry. So it's not a bad site to bookmark and to grab those resources.
Yep. And that's it for ministry resources. I think that brings us to our featured video. And I want to say I had to look long and hard for this. Instagram has a good help page, but it's mainly textual help. And finally, I found that they have an account on Vimeo, and they have over 40 videos out here. So if you want to learn more about Instagram from the folks at Instagram, you can check out their Vimeo account. The one we'll feature on this show is about the Instagram stories, and they have kind of an overview video that you can watch related to stories. So check that out.
And let it be known that I actually did use Instagram during the show. And Naomi Green hearted it already. So we took a little picture of us podcasting about Instagram is now on Instagram. So it's kind of circular.
Right, like a vortex.
Social media, yes.
Wow.
So kind of fun. And I think pictures sometimes indeed are worth 1,000 words. So get out and do that Instagramming and let us know how you're using it. And that's a great segue to remind people that you can go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, find all the links to where we live in the social space. If you want to use email to connect with us, wellstech@wells.net is a great way to do that. Or if you're in the mood to leave us a voicemail, go right to that show notes page, click on the blue bar on the right side, and you will be able to click and talk, and we get to listen. So please do that. And as always, thank you, Sally, for your contributions to the show. Pretty significant, as always. You are Instagram go-to. I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
and we really appreciate everybody else joining us. And tune in next week. It is our community feedback show. So we kind of bundle up all the community feedback we've had since the last show. So that's hopefully quite a bit. And we get to have some fun learning some new things from you all. So please come back next week. Bring your friends. Blessings on your week. Until then, bye-bye.